recently, and maybe there will still be some more, but college graduations have taken place. And I remember, yes, I can remember that far back, when I was graduating, my thoughts were, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. You know, and I felt that way about seminary, too. Because after college, I had 4 years of seminary, and then I can't wait to get out of this place. And both at college and then at seminary, the professors and so forth, they would say, there will be a time when you will wish you were still in college. Because this is the best days. And there will be a time when you will wish you will want to have still be in seminary. And I thought, no way. Well, if you think about it, that kind of issue has come up, and it's been happening for a long time, and it even shows up in the days of Moses. The people of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. You remember the story, the 10 plagues and the angel of death and all that happened. And Moses had gone to the Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And finally the Pharaoh gave in. And so they had gone out and they had gotten to the water's edge and the people grumbled. They thought they had it better in Egypt. And then they crossed the waters and they got out into the wilderness. And then they didn't have enough water and the people grumbled. And then they didn't have enough food and God gave them manna and they still grumbled. And then they got quail and then they grumbled. And then on and on, we find the narrative tells us that God's people kept looking back. And as they look backward, their thinking wasn't clear. Because when they look back, it now seemed easy. And it seemed better when they were in Egypt. And they lie to themselves about how good it was. They lie about how much food they had and about the work and how it was all manageable. And they lied to themselves. And when they were doing this, they were saying to God, I don't want to be where you want me to be. And I don't want to go in the direction that you want me to go. And I don't want to do what you want me to do. And then there was a day when Moses was meeting with God. And then you heard the narrative about the 70 and how God took some of that spirit and put it on them. And then there were these two other guys still back in the camp. And they were prophesying. And Joshua thought, that ain't a good thing, you know. And Moses highlights that, you know, this isn't about me. This isn't about my pride. In fact, it would be wonderful if all of God's people were prophesying. In a sense, if all of God's people were empowered by the Spirit to speak what God wants us to speak and to do what God wants us to do. But the people were busy looking backwards. Now, when you start looking backwards, what happens? Just like for the Israelites, you don't see God in the now. And if you don't see God in the now, you're certainly not going to be looking to where God would point and lead you to, right? Well, in the days of Christ, guess what happened? The same kind of thing. It was after his death and before his resurrection, the disciples were gathered and they didn't know what to do. And they were desiring to go back in time, to have their teacher, to have the Lord and Master with them. And as they gathered, then that day, that Easter day, in the upper room, Jesus shows up, and what does he tell them? Instead of lecturing them, he simply restored them. Peace be with you. That peace of God that takes us out of ourself, that peace of God which goes beyond our own comprehension and our own figuring things out and our own problem solving, that peace of God leads us to see God's hand now and to follow in the direction that we would go. And the disciples began to see that. And in that peace, they began to live that. And so they waited, because that's what their instructions were. To wait until the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And this day that we commemorate today, the day of Pentecost, is the day when the Holy Spirit came, not just upon 12 men, but upon 120. And it wasn't about doing miracles and speaking in tongues and languages that nobody knew, but only God. It was about being filled with the Holy Spirit to communicate the message of salvation so that the people who used that language could hear about Jesus. If the disciples had remained just like the Israelites, we want to go back. We want to go back to watching miracles and sermons on the mount and having Jesus walk on the water. And you remember when we were in the boat? That was so cool, you know, and he stilled the storm. And looking back, it would have seemed so easy, wouldn't it have? But when they were in the boat, what were they like? Yeah, they were panicking. They were afraid. They thought they were going to die. And sometimes when Jesus was teaching, what were they like? I don't get it. Right? I don't understand. But looking backwards, it seemed easier, but it wasn't. And God wanted them to know the presence of himself now, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, God wanted them to know the presence and the power of that Spirit. And so he gave them that visible, tangible, that sign, that those tongues of fire, the flames. It didn't burn their heads. It didn't hurt anyone. But it was something that was miraculous, where God said, I am here. And as they were guided by the Spirit, it gave them the strength of faith to move forward, to face things they really didn't want to face, but they endured. To do things they might not have wanted to do. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked. Who wants to go through that? And then he was bit, you know, with a poisonous snake. How many of you would just love to be bit by a poisonous snake and not have the venom touch you, right? Yeah, you just can't wait to have that sign and wonder. You would sign up in a 20-year period, maybe. But here, they did all these things. And God guided them forward. Think about the church today, God's people today. What's our perspective? I think it covers some people looking back. We look at the morals, we look at the times, we look at the terrorism, we look at the crises, we look at the power of floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and everything else, and we start looking back and we go, man, it was so much easier back then. We look at all the corruption and we think it was better back then. We look at our social life, and even with technology, we think it was better back then. And I think we make the mistake, because we've been there, done that, that was easier. But when you listen closely to the people of the times, they still had doubts. They still had tears. They still had pain, emotional and physical. They still had confusion. And they still had to walk by faith. And I think a little bit of the problem of the church today, the Christian church on earth, is that we're looking backwards and we're wanting to go back to a time that we think is easier. And as a result of that, we're missing the hand of God today. We're missing what God is working in us and through us. We're missing because what we want from God may not be happening. It's like we've unplugged and we brought ourselves over to here. And we say, oh God, you have to do this here. And God says, I'm not doing it there. I had you in the right place. I had you where I wanted you to be. But you left. The people of Israel at the bottom of Sinai, remember what they did? Moses was on top. They're down at the bottom. They made a golden calf. They wanted to hedge their bet. They wanted to involve another power. And yet God had them where he wanted them to be, in his grace, saved physically. And sometimes we are that way. And that makes it hard for the Christian church to move forward. Either we're so busy looking backward, and we're so confused we don't see the hand of God now, that we are not willing to take those steps that are needed. We're not willing to follow in the path that he leads us in. We're wanting a different kind of path. We want to sign up for those spiritual gifts that are named in the Bible. We want to do miracles. We want to do signs. We want to do wonders. They teach that at seminary, right? Yeah, once you graduate, you're able to do everything, including walk on water. Yeah. I know how to drink water, pour water, and flush water. You know, that's as good as it gets. But it is amazing that in our lives we want something different. And what we're missing is how God sustains us now. Do you know the world is becoming more and more in the United States unchristian? You do understand that, right? So what's the wondrous, miraculous thing that happens? Is that you remain in the faith, in the face of everything else that's said. Jesus didn't really exist. Jesus was just a man. All the church is using this to mind, you know, control you. You know, and the fact that we walk by faith is a miracle in the world that we live in. It is the power of God and the evidence of God. That we hold on to these truths and we believe God's word and we follow what it says. And when we sin, we raise our hand before God and say, I did it. I'm the one that committed the foul. I'm the one that broke the law. And we confess our sin. And guess what? We're forgiven. And the world doesn't believe in the forgiveness. And the world doesn't believe in the hope of everlasting life. And the world is not turning to Christ for salvation. You have to make your own success in your own way. I don't think we need miracles of walking on water or the faith healing and all of that to really shine in a world of darkness. I think we simply need to trust God in a world that doesn't. I think we need to follow God in a world that rebels. I think we need to read God's word in a world that's distracted and consumed by everything else. Do you see the pattern? You know, I learned in history, and I always did not like history classes. It is an act of God that I remember anything from history school, okay? But you think about it, we see the pattern. People don't like what they are, and the past always seems better, has not changed from generation to generation. And when you're looking backwards, you can't see God in the now. And when you're looking backwards, you can't move forward. The fact that we continue to walk by faith is the evidence of God in our life. A surrendering to his word. A praise to his name. When we grieve, we have hope. When we're confused, we have trust. We know he isn't confused. And when we don't understand, we surrender the anxiety into the hands of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You received him in the water and the word at your baptism. Your faith through the body and blood of Jesus Christ is strengthened and sustained. It's renewed. Your sins are taken away. You are equipped not to constantly look backward or to ignore the God now. You're equipped to see the hand of God and to follow God every day. Pentecost is not simply a historical event of days gone by. And boy, we wish we had been there. I mean, wouldn't you love to see a tongue of fire right about here? You know, on me, not you. You know, you understand? But God guides us and strengthens us to say, thanks be to God for today. And thanks be to God. He's still God tomorrow. In Jesus we live. Amen.